thank you for that, and thank you for being here this morning. We haven't announced it yet, but Jack and Crystal, congratulations, Jack and Crystal Myers, on their newest addition, Alexander Jack Myers. Let's give them a hand. They're here today. I'm pretty sure he'll be the best-looking kid in the nursery. I'm just, you know, I'm not biased that way, but I hope that he'll be doing just great. We're going to look at 2 Corinthians here. We've been going through a series related to our theme on leveling up, and God uses a lot of different things in our lives and in our faith to help us to level up in our Christianity. And by the way, that ought to be your goal. Okay? No one should want to stay stagnant in their faith. We ought to always want to be going for more. We always want to be growing more. We ought to always want to be serving more. And so I hope that's your desire. We're going to talk about one way God can accomplish that in our lives, and it's probably one of the ways that's the least popular. It's when we go through difficulties. We go through trials. You know, they come in a variety of different ways, right? Some have physical conditions. By the way, if you're in the church, you say, I know some people that are going, I know somebody or one or two people that are going through difficulties. I know a lot more people that are going through trials and difficulties than you. And God sometimes can use those in our lives. Some people have emotional things they deal with. Some have some financial issues. It could be a tragedy we're going through. But all of us are going to face things in our life that are difficult to go through. And God wants to use those in our life. Sometimes the things that happen to us happen just because it's the course of life. And there's nothing that could be done about that. By the way, that happens to the unsaved as much as it happens to the saved. And so that's why it's good to be on God's side when you're going through those things. Some things happen because of actions we take. Maybe consequences to some of the things we're doing. By the way, I can tell you what God wants to do in that situation. God wants you to change your actions. You know, it's one thing to go through problems in our life because we have to go through them. It's another thing to have to go through problems because we cause them. And so that's why following the Bible is a really good prescription to get away from that. And sometimes things are just allowed by God. We think of Job and how God allowed everything that happened in his life, but he allowed it for a reason. But let me say this. Just because something negative, what we would consider negative, or just because of difficulties in our life, and it's not necessarily pleasant, doesn't mean it has to end in bad results. They can end up being for our good. And by the way, if we're going to go through something, we might as well try to learn and get from it what God wants us to get from it. It could be for our benefit. By the way, it could be for the benefit of others. Sometimes people go through things and then they get to talking to someone or they meet somebody that's currently going through that thing, and you can be a source of encouragement to them better than even people that have not went through those things. But sometimes going through pain is necessary to get to where we need to be and to learn what we need to learn. Sometimes pain's part of it. Many years ago, ulcers were a problem. How many of you are old enough to remember ulcers, right? They said ulcers were caused by stress or different things, and really the cure for it was change your diet. Eat bland food, stay away from the stuff that actually you probably want to eat. No spicy foods because they believe, you know, the acid in the stomach. That was their basic treatment. But in the 1980s, there were a couple doctors in Australia. They had a different thought about it. They found out that in their studies that people that had ulcers all had this bacteria. My wife will know what it is. She gets H. pylori. Okay, and their thought was this was what was causing the issues. Now, it was a bacteria. Doctors didn't agree with them because doctors thought that bacteria would be killed by the acids in the stomach. So they basically blew them off. So here's what the doctor did. He went and got a glass that contained H. pylori and he drank it. A couple days later, he started getting all the symptoms of an ulcer. And then he took an antibiotic, and it went away. But he had to go through that pain physically to get to a good result. Now ulcers are nothing like they used to be. That sometimes happens in life. God brings things our way and we have to learn from it, and that's what we're going to look at today. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul's talking about an experience of a man that was caught up into the third heaven. We know that that was Paul. He experienced incredible revelation. Paul said he refused to boast in that glory in what he had seen. Instead, he transitions to talk about the things that happened to him to help him to remain grounded because of this great experience that he had. He experienced what he called a thorn in the flesh. It was from a messenger of Satan to afflict him. Now, we're not sure what it is, but most people believe it may have been a health issue. We know that Paul had some health issues. We do know that he had spiritual attacks, and Paul went through a lot of persecution. But Paul had to deal with this. He talks about it a little bit in the next in the previous chapter, in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, starting at verse 23. He says, "Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. In labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in deaths off. Of the Jews, five times I received 40 stripes, save one. Thrice I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned," not like you guys get stoned. "Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep. In journeyings often, perils of waters, and perils of robbers, and perils of my own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils by the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, and fastings often, in cold and nakedness." Sounds like Paul had a tough time. Sounds like Paul went through a lot of things. And he said, he's talking about the fact that God uses these things to keep him in the right spot. Amen. Because he could have got a big head. Now, as I said, problems, sorrows, and heartbreaks are a part of life. But we know that God wants to use those things. Paul didn't glory in the miraculous things. Paul found the lessons of life more often in the negative things that he went through. We know that God uses everything, if we are in his will, to produce good in our life. And so when we go through hard things, what are some of the lessons that God is trying to teach us? Why do we go through some of these things? First of all, I would say this, it's for our humility. Look at verse 7. "And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given unto me a thorn in the flesh." That thorn is a sharp piece of wood that was used to poke, like something that would splint, give you a splinter. That was inward, physical pain. "The messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted." Buffet means to, like, literally to be beat with a fist, so that he would not be exalted. Exalted means we raise ourselves up. Why did God allow him to go through some of these things? Because God wanted to keep him humble. God wanted to keep him in the right spot. God wanted him to understand exactly who he was, and that anything the good that was happening in his life had nothing to do with him. It was all about God. That is how humility is. By the way, we all have pride issues. We do. We all think we know what's best. We all think we deserve the best. And God sometimes has to bring us down a notch. Somehow God has to allow things in our lives that would cause us to realize it's not all about us. You ever hear someone talk about they go through some tragedy, they go through some trial in life, and they'll always say, "It just helps us, it helps me to understand and have the right priorities. It helps me to understand how fragile life can be." And I'll be honest with you, one thing that it's going to help you to do is realize you're not in charge. The world doesn't revolve around us. Pride is very destructive. We believe we're always right. Although we would never say it, but let's just be honest, when we think we're always right, we'll follow our ways over God's way every single time. Oh, we would never come out and say, I'm not going to listen to what God would say in this area, but let's just be honest. We follow our own paths. We do our own thing. We're not going to God asking for his help. Pride. We think we're always right. We must be very, very careful. It causes us to be blind about what is going on around us. Because everything is so self-centered, and we got control of everything, and we lose sight, we lose focus on what's going on around us. One of the things about Steve Jobs, the founder of Apple, they said that he lived with a reality distortion field. If he believed it, he believed it. There's nothing you could do to change his mind. Most Christians live in a distortion field. We're so blind to what's going on around us, and sometimes God's just got to get our attention and teach us. Pride also causes us to think that we are better than others, right? Some people think they're the spiritual exemption. They'll do something and think, yeah, this may not be the right thing, but bad things only happen to other people. I can get away with this. By the way, that was Peter. Though all shall forsake thee, I will never forsake thee. And yet he did. In fact, he did it to a greater degree than anybody else. We must understand that God wants to keep us humble. And let me say this, it's better to humble ourselves than have God humble us. James 4:10, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift thee up. If we start lifting ourselves up, if we will not remain humble, God says, I got this. And by the way, I don't want to be a part of that. I'd rather humble myself than have God have to get in. But maybe we're going through something because God wants us to understand that we can't make it through this life alone. We can't make it on our own wisdom. And so God brings things upon. He says, Paul said, before it was for my humility. But also, it's for our discipline. Look at verse 8. He says, for this thing I besought the Lord three times, that it might depart from me. He went after it, but guess what? God wasn't going to take it away. How often does something come in our life, and I'm like you, I want it to go away right away. I don't want to have to deal with it. I don't want to be inconvenienced with what's going on. And we go to God and we say, God, can you just take care of this situation? And by the way, sometimes God graciously does. Maybe he's trying to teach us something different at that time. But sometimes he says, uh-uh. And it was not God's will for him to take that away. Why? Because there was some discipline. There was something he wanted him to learn that we can only learn through going through difficult times. I'm thankful for the times. I can think of times in my life where God's taken things away to show his power. But I can also think of times when he didn't take it away. He was trying to teach me some lessons. He was trying to discipline me. One of the ways we learn discipline in life is not by getting the things we want. Let me interject this here. It's not about child rearing, but I'll throw it in here for free. You know, what's wrong with our children today? You give them everything. What's wrong with that? Most of the houses Most of the houses in our country are being run by 3-year-olds. No 3-year-old's going to run my house. They have to be at least 7. By the way, maybe I'm not the nicest grandpa. I love the grandkids, and I know you spoil them and all that stuff, but they come to my house, they're not running the show. Amen. Okay? You wonder why they're irresponsible adults, because their whole life they've been given everything, and they get their way, or they throw a little tantrum, and now they're 25-year-olds doing the exact same thing. Back to the regularly scheduled message. You know, we're the children of God, and God's like, hey, everything's going to be okay. By the way, you learn more sometimes in hard times than you do in the good times. And God says, you need to learn some discipline. Everybody wants the easy way. You see all these athletes, and some of them have more talent than others, but they're a waste because they don't have the discipline to work. People go to jobs, and you know, they want the boss, and they won't work. But it takes discipline. God wants to teach him something, and sometimes we have to go through that to learn that. Why else does God give us this? You know, it's for our faith. Look at verse 9. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. Sufficient means it's enough to make us content, to keep us satisfied. How do you learn that? You know how we want to learn it? By getting that raise at work. But God might want to teach it to you by helping you get fired from your job. Right? I mean, you want the easy way. Right? The raise. The good stuff. God's blessing me. So many good. And by the way, be thankful for God when he's blessing you. But it could just be that God allows things in your life to build your faith and to bless you that way. And by the way, I'm with you. That's not the way I want to go. You're a pastor. You should like that. No. I don't like drama. I don't like chaos. But sometimes God says, that's good. I appreciate your concept there, but you got to deal with this. That's the only way our faith grows. By the way, that was the answer to his prayer. Can you imagine that? You're going through a hard time. Say, Lord, can you help me? He goes, you know what? I'm going to help you. Here it is. My grace is sufficient for me. Deal with it. Huh? That's not actually what I was looking for. God uses trials to help us to understand his grace. And think about it. It came through a messenger of Satan. Satan thought he had everything under control when he was doing all that nonsense to Job. He didn't realize a book of the Bible was being written. He didn't realize that Job's faith was being strengthened. He didn't realize that that would be a testimony, an example. Even people that aren't saved talk about that, you know. You have the patience of Job. I'm sure that's not what Satan was striving for. Satan thought if Job went through this, he will turn his back on God and he will walk away from his faith, not realizing that it strengthened his faith. God wants to strengthen our faith. He uses his grace. Now we think of grace as the beginning of our Christian life, right? That's salvation. But really, grace is a part of living the Christian life. That's our sanctification. That's where God works on us from the time we're saved until the time we die to make us what he wants us to be and to help us to grow in our faith. And sometimes he uses trials and difficulties so we understand. Quit thinking of grace solely as salvation. Quit thinking of grace. Most people think of grace as an excuse to sin. That's a message for another day. But God's grace is for him to work in our lives and to help us to become everything that we want, that he wants us to be. Don't limit grace to salvation. That's why people excuse their sin. We're under grace. If you were under grace, you wouldn't excuse your sin. You'd run from it. Right, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Here's what he said. God forbid. Translation, no way, Jose. That's not what grace is for. Yep. Grace is to help our weaknesses to be strengthened. Are you living by God's grace? Are you really allowing God's grace to give you everything? He says it's sufficient. We can be content in his grace. Now, I would have liked the answer prayer. But he said, you know what? No. I got you. My grace has everything you need. And by the way, when we go through difficult times is when we realize that. We don't realize that until that is the case. He also says that he uses these things for our maturity. It grows us up. Verse 9, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. You know what perfect means? Mature. Complete. You see, you need to have maturity in your Christian life. You know what's wrong with Christianity? There's a lot of things wrong, to be real honest with you. There are a lot of things that are right. But one of the biggest things that's wrong in Christianity is we have a bunch of immature Christians. Now, come on. They're grateful to be saved. But that's it. They don't want anything else. I mean, let's just be real. If you're walking, most Christians, if we walked around looking spiritually like we, on the level of where we are physically, we'd be walking around in diapers. I can't, one of the things that just, I'll ask God about when I get to heaven, just amazes me about children. They can walk around in a full diaper and it doesn't bother them. It bothers everybody else because it's, but Christians do that. We're okay with being saved. We just don't want to grow in our faith. And we're immature. Maturity makes us complete. It gives us everything we need to live the Christian life. But God has to use several things to do that. He uses the Word of God to make us mature. He uses the Word of God to, as it says in Timothy, to give us everything, like thoroughly furnished, all that stuff we need. But sometimes he's got to bring this into our life so that we get those things that you can only get through difficult times. As I mentioned before, we're a soft society. No one knows how to do anything difficult or anything hard. And at the first time something gets difficult, we quit. You know, your little kid goes home. My coach didn't play me. It's because you're not good enough. Years ago, I used to coach all the sports. I was coaching the girls' volleyball team. I think Pastor Esposito was punishing me. And one of the girls came up and said, you play favorites. And I looked at her, I said, you know what? That's true. The players I play my favorites. And my favorite players are the ones that are actually good. You know, but we quit at the drop of a hat. God wants to toughen us up. God, look it. And I know we go through things, and I'm talking about it, and I'm not belittling it. But man, look what Paul went through. That's big stuff. And yet, Paul would go through all these problems, and at the end, he came out on top. One of the most amazing stories I preached on before, I think it was Acts chapter 27. Paul's a prisoner on a ship going to Rome, and they have all this drama and all these storms, and the ship goes down. They get stuck on an island, and by the time you get to the end of the story, Paul's in charge. Paul's saying, look, you need to eat. You need to do this, and God says do this. It's like, how'd the prisoner get in charge? Because he was mature enough in the faith to handle it. And God wants us to be mature in our faith. Let me give you a verse here. James 1:5. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. By the way, we all need wisdom. And you ought to pray about that. But many years ago, I was going through something very difficult. And I should have known this. And I read that verse, so I'm like, wait a minute, what is the context of that verse? What is God talking about in James before he tells us to ask for wisdom? He's talking about trials. I get it, we should pray for wisdom, but if you look at what he's talking about trials. We especially need wisdom when we're going through trials. And sometimes we don't run to God and say, God, I need your wisdom, because we're doing smooth sailing. And we get it. But sometimes these things come into our life and things aren't going smooth and we don't get it. We need to go to God and say, God, I don't get it. I don't understand how I can get through this. I need your wisdom. And we're in tune with what God's trying to do. And it makes us a better Christian. I hope that's the desire of your life. Look at verse 9 again. Why do we go through these things? For our attitude. Look at verse 9. Most, now read that next word. Most gladly. Therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities. Gladly? Happily? Joyfully? Well, isn't that what James said? Count it all joy. Now, when he says count it all joy, that's an accounting term. Right? I like numbers. I like finance numbers to add up. And that means accounting. You look at it and say, it's not joyful now, but if when you run the numbers, you know what it's going to end up equaling? Joy. Not necessarily, you're not necessarily feeling that, although we ought to have the joy of the Lord at all times. But we know if we get to the end of the road, we can count it all joy. Because we're going to see God one way or another. Because he's going to be feel closer to us during those times. You know, we take people for granted, right? You ever see a couple, they go through problems, they've been married for a long time. It's just like, we're just not connecting anymore. We're just, I know, because you're taking people, you're taking each other for granted. We take God for granted. Because everything's good. And by the way, I'm glad, I'm not saying I want bad things in your life. I'm glad when things are good. But when they're not, you're going to be more in tune to God. And we'll have a different attitude. We will not look at it as being a negative thing. We will see it as being a positive. Let me say this. Not that if something tragic happens, we're glad that that happens, but we'll pull the positives that we can out of it. Think of Joseph. Okay? His brothers sell him. He goes to Potiphar's. He works his way up the ladder, and then Jezebel, Potiphar's wife, now he's in prison. He even worked his way up the ladder in prison. I mean, I could just see the head of the prison was drinking coffee in his office, and Joseph's taking care of everything. And then he gets forgotten about, he languishes in there, and all of a sudden, he's vice president of Egypt. And that's not the good part. Here comes his brothers. Now pray for me. If I was Joseph, it would not have ended well for those guys. But you know what Joseph said? At the end of it all, dad dies. His brothers come walking in like, all right, dad's dead now. There's that buffer zone's gone. And he says, hey, listen. If all of this trial has it taught me one thing, it's this. You meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. In fact, this whole thing, I have a different outlook now. I'm pretty sure when Potiphar threw him in prison, he wasn't thinking that way. I'm sure when he's in prison, like, hey, let me tell you the dream. Now go tell him and let me out of here. He wasn't thinking that way. But you know what? He got there because he had a different perspective about what God was trying to accomplish in his life. And I'm not saying God necessarily brings bad things into our life, but if God allows it, he's allowing it, we might as well get something from it. And then lastly here, it's for our reliance. Verse 9, he says that the power of Christ may rest upon me. That's when we see God's power. When you're going through tough things, I mean, God's power is there. Don't get me wrong. And God does great things, and we've all prayed, and God's answered our prayer. But you know when you really see it is when you get to the end of yourself. Like, God, I just can't do this. God, this is tough. I don't want to do this. And I don't want to have to deal with it. He says, my grace is sufficient for thee. In your weakness, you'll find his strength. And so it brings us to that place where things are out of our control, so we quit relying on ourselves. We start relying on him. By the way, that's where we need to be. And let me say this. Say, Pastor, I'm here today, and it is all good. Good. Why don't we rely on him? Why don't we can do these things without problems. But I'm saying if we're going through something today, don't waste it. You know what the sad thing would be? And I've seen people do this. They go through something, they walk away from God. They walk away from God. You know what happened? God gave you a test. God allowed this in your life, and you blew it. And you know what happens? If you walk away from God, bad things happen. But if you don't get what God has for you, it's like you have to take that test again. I didn't want a fail test. Let me take it now, deal with it, we'll move on with our life. Why don't we get what God has for us? Yes, I get it. There's negatives. There's things we don't want to go through. There's things that are just painful in our life. But if it can bring us to a place where it matures us in our faith and it helps me to understand that I am nothing and I need to rely on him and it strengthens my relationship with God, then although we may not have went through it, we learned what he wanted us to learn. Don't waste it. Yeah, I want to level up and all the other lessons were great, you know, in our faith and all the good stuff. What about this? You going through something today? Say, Pastor, I am going through something. Get close to God. Find out what he's trying to do or why he allowed this in your life. I said, Pastor, I'm doing good. You know what? The storm might just be around the corner. It might just be around the corner. But let's level up during those difficult times. You know, the worst thing, and I'll be done, the worst thing is I've had people do this. You'll call, hey, man, missed you. Where you been? Or I usually don't put it like that. I try to be a little more positive. Someone that hasn't been there. But, hey, how you doing? We missed you. Everything good? I'll hear people say, Pastor, I'm going through something right now, and as soon as I get through it, I'll be back to church. I always say, if you don't come back now, we'll never see you again. That's like saying, I'm sick. I need some medicine. I'll go to the doctor when I'm feeling better. See, you didn't get what God was trying to get you, give you. And you're here this morning, so I don't need to pick at you. But what are we getting from our trials? Let God use it in your life. Be open to whatever he has for you. Let's bow our head and close our eyes for a minute if we may. Every head bowed, every eye closed, just for 1 minute. I know that there's several here. I know your story. I know you're going through some things. You can make it. And I'm not just saying that because I'm saying man up, although I'm like people to man up. But because God's grace and his strength can get you through this. As a pastor, when I know people going through hard things, I know if I could, my heart would say, I wish you didn't have to go through that. But I'm not God. But I do know this. God still loves you, and he wants to work in your life. What can you get through this? Maybe you're here this morning, and I'll just be real honest with you. If you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, that's the first step. Maybe if you're going through something, that's what God's trying to get your attention. So you'll come to him. You say, Pastor, what does that mean? Here's a question. If you were to die right now, would you be 100% for sure that you're going to heaven, or do you have some doubt? If you're here this morning, you say, Pastor, that's me. I'm not 100%. I couldn't even give you a biblical reason why I'm going to heaven. I am not 100% for sure. With nobody looking around. If that's you, you say, Pastor, that's me. Pastor, would you pray for me? If you just briefly put your hand up, put it down, I'll pray for you. Anybody at all? Yes. Right here. Let's stand together if we may. You going through a tough time? You having trouble making sense of what's going on in your life? Maybe God's trying to teach you some things. Piano's going to play. If God spoke to you at all this morning, why don't you come and do some business with him? God cares more than you'll ever understand.